Blog Talk Radio.
And all access is all inclusive.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the NFL Bat Drive, blah, 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 the NFL Draft Bibles Draft Digest Show. This is the Defensive Back Special at a special time here on Saturday. I am your host, Daniel Moglione. With me is the Reverend Ralph Mancini, who seems to, you know, work twice on Sundays and three or four times every other day.
Hey, what's going on, Dan? I got my LSU jersey on. I got my favorite beverage in hand. I'm ready to roll.
All right, and that's right, LSU jersey representing Patrick Peterson. I got my Darrell Revis Island T-shirt on, so I'm representing the Defensive Back Show as well. Maybe we'll talk about is there the next Darrell Revis in this draft. I don't know. Could it be? Maybe, maybe not. But we'll be talking corners, safeties, breaking down the top guys at each position, giving you some sleepers, some best of the rest players, as well as teams in need. Who needs a corner? Who needs a safety? And a couple special guests joining us will be filling some needs. That's Prince Amakamura, our number two corner ranked on NFL Draft Bible website, as well as Raheem Moore, our highest ranked safety out of UCLA. They'll be joining us a little bit later in the show. But Reverend, let's start at the cornerback position, and let's start at the top. I guess, you know, the way we've been doing it, I've been throwing some guys at you, kind of my rankings, and let me start with my top five and see what you think, and we'll go from there. I got, you know, everybody's number one, Patrick Peterson. I guess the only question now is not whether Patrick Peterson is your number one corner, but whether he's your number one overall player. Number two, I got our guest, Prince Amakamura, who's coming on later. He's my number two guy. Ran very well at the combine, did pretty comparable to Peterson. Both ran sub 4.440s. Peterson was 4.31 and Amakamura 4.38. You know, the shuttle times, 4.07, 4.08 were right there, almost equal. Number three, I got Jimmy Smith. He ran a 4.42, the kid out of Colorado, good speed as well. Solid shuttle time, 4.06. Number four, Brandon Harris out of Miami. Not quite as gifted in the speed as the top three guys, but I think still a solid corner prospect. And number five, Aaron Williams. Some people consider him a better safety than a corner. I went with the corner position just for now because I think most likely that's where he's going to get his first shot. I could be wrong, but I think it's always, you know, it's not bad that he does have that kind of safety valve where he can play safety. I think that's almost like an added bonus when you're drafting a corner, that, you know, he does project to have some flexibility. And, you know, even early on in his career, if he doesn't start, he could give you depth maybe at more than one position. So that's a plus as well. What do you think of the top five, Reverend?
Well, I have a lot of the same guys you have. I don't have Aaron Williams. I actually listed him as a safety, but we'll talk about him later. Again, I agree with Patrick Peterson. That is the no-brainer of the century right here, the fact that he's going to be the number one cornerback taken in this upcoming draft. Big corner, craves contact. The way he runs routes like a receiver, he keeps his head turned. He's got the long arms to outreach his man. Great instincts as a return man as well. That's a no-brainer. But where I differ with you is with the number two and number four guys.
Well, let me ask you this before we leave Peterson. You know, this is something we talked about a couple of weeks ago before we started doing the whole position shows, the position breakdowns. And in case you haven't heard them just yet, don't forget, check it out. You can download them still. We did the defensive line a couple of weeks ago. We did linebackers earlier in the week. So check out those two shows, defensive line and linebackers. Rev, you know, Patrick Peterson, would you take him number one at corner? There's still seems to be somewhat of a stigma, almost like you can't take a corner number one. That's a little too high. You got to take a big guy. You got to take, you know, a quarterback. That's the kind of people, people are used to seeing going with the first overall pick. Do you think, you know, people are undervaluing what a corner could bring to the table in the NFL?
Yeah, I mean, I don't get caught up in that whole position thing. I mean, to me, do you think that this guy is going to be a difference maker in terms of being that guy that is going to make a huge difference in your defense in terms of points? You know, is he going to be a guy like Darrell Revis who comes in there and teams are not even going to pass his way? They're not even going to look to him. They're going to, you know, try to stick away from him. Is he going to be the type of guy that's going to allow your defense to blitz a whole lot more and not get hurt and not get burned? You know, is he going to be that type of guy? If he is going to be that type of player, then, yeah, you take him number one. You know, I mean, there's no such thing.
He improves the rest of the team, right?
Exactly. Does he make other people better?
Yeah.
It's just like, you know, having a good point guard. Does he make the other players better? And that's the way you have to view things. Look, there's no such thing as a perfect cornerback, but I think in this particular draft, Patrick Peterson comes as close as being that perfect guy than anybody else.
Yeah, if you got a guy that doesn't need safety help or needs minimal safety help, you know, where you can give more help to the other side who's going to shut down one side of the field, you know, particularly if you have a coach who knows how to use that, that limits what the other team can do. It helps the pass rush. It helps everybody. So it does make teams better. It's the reverse effect of what a good pass rush does to a mediocre secondary. If you have a really good secondary, that could help a mediocre pass rush. I think, you know, those reciprocate. So, you know, why not go corner number one? I agree with you. I think, you know, listen, obviously you're not going to draft a center or a guard number one overall. You're probably not going to draft a tight end overall. But I think a corner is worthy of going number one overall if you think he's the best player on the board, particularly if it fits a need. Why not?
Yeah, and on top of all those things that you just said, him being able to cover guys one-on-one, put him on an island and don't even worry about him. The other thing is he's a very physical guy as well. You know, he just swoops in for the ball. He out-muscles wide receivers. I mean, take a look at that battle that he had with Julio Jones during the season. I mean, if that's not a shutdown cornerback, I don't know what is.
All right, Rev, how about the rest of your top five? What does that look like? You mentioned Aaron Williams isn't there. How about guys like Jimmy Smith, Brandon Harris, Prince McNamara? Did they make your top five as well?
Well, I actually have Brandon Harris at number two. I just love the fact that he's an aggressive corner. He gets his hands on a lot of balls. He doesn't get fooled. A very smart guy and a willing tackler as well. I just love the way his smoothness. The guy's a smooth runner. He stays low in his stance. He transitions well, and you can line him up outside or in the slot. The guy just looks like a corner. He moves like a corner. He's very fluid. I have no worries about him. I think he should definitely be a first-round pick. Jimmy Smith is my number three guy. He is a physical press corner, has excellent size and range, but he is best at making plays going forward as opposed to going back. And he's not a great tackler as well. A lot of times he'll go too high. So he is not the finished product. But he can also do a lot of things athletically that a lot of other guys can't do. The guy's almost freakish with his athletic ability. He can fly around there, be flexible, almost like an Antonio Cromartie. You know, not that I'm a big Cromartie fan, but I mean athletically, you know, you know, during his San Diego days, that guy made some really, really a lot of highlight plays. I think he could be that type of cornerback. Number four is Prince Amakamara. Again, a physical press corner just like Jimmy Smith. He gets in your grill. He recognizes routes. He's one step ahead of receivers, but he can also get beaten downfield. That's just, you know, one thing that sometimes he seems to fall prey to. A lot of those double moves a lot of times. Occasionally, he looks like he could lose focus at times as well. So while I like him as a defender, as an overall defensive back, I'm thinking he might be a better free safety. I don't think he's going to be a bad cornerback, but I don't think he's going to be as good as some of the other guys we just mentioned. And then finally, my number five guy is Rozai Dowling. Big guy, 6'2", 200 pounds, phenomenal leaper. Defends well on jump balls. He reads quarterbacks, fights for the ball. The only thing with him is he's extremely fragile. He's always getting hurt. He's got a thin lower body. So that is the one thing that really worries me about him. But in terms of technique and talent and size and leaping ability, I think Rozai Dowling is very close to those other guys I just mentioned before.
And he's a guy that was number one on a lot of people's senior list, or at least battling Prince and McNamara for that top senior prospect heading into this. He is in my top 10. I got him at number 8. At number 6, I have Curtis Brown out of Texas, who had a sizzling 4.0 shuttle time. And, you know, for the people out there, you know, not to downvalue the 40 time, it is important for a corner. Obviously, you do want that straight line speed. But let's be honest. If you're running 40 yards straight, a lot of times it's because you already got beat off the line and you're trying to play catch-up. And that catch-up speed is important. But that shuttle time, I think, more than the 40 time does show you what they can do in terms of flipping their hips and changing direction a little bit while at the same time backpedaling and going backwards and covering some ground. So he did a better job than either Peterson or Prince or Jimmy Smith, all those guys in that department. I also like Brandon Burton out of Utah. You know, I like the way he plays. He's a physical kid. He might not be the biggest kid, but he plays, you know, he's got that brashness. He's got that, you know, in your face, I'm going to cover you that you need, I think, to be a corner in the NFL. As I said, 8, I have Rashad Dowling. Number 9, I think a guy that me and you both like more than other people, Kendrick Burney, the kid out of UNC. Another kid that just seems to know how to play football. I think he's, you know, he reminds me a little bit of Brandon Harris, the guy you have at number 2. Maybe not, you know, the guy that's going to wow you on the combine day, but the kid knows how to play football, and he's an all-around football player. He's not afraid to tackle either. I like these guys that, even though they don't have the size of some of the bigger players at this position, but they're not afraid to mix it up and be all-around football players. And number 10, Curtis Marsh, a kid out of Utah State, a little bit of a sleeper, but I think he's got a chance to show something at the next level. You know, after that, you know, there's some more guys. But what do you think of that top five, Rev? How many guys are we agreeing on here in this next group of guys?
Looks like we're agreeing on about 2 guys here. At number 6, I actually have Jaleel Brown, the other guy from Colorado.
Jimmy Smith's teammate there, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, the thing that impressed me about him is that he got picked on a lot with Smith on the other side, and he held up pretty well. That says a lot to me about him, because that's something that's probably going to happen to him in the NFL as well. As you know, they try to test out rookies a lot of times to see what they have. He tracks the ball well in the air. He's got good size at about 6 feet tall. He's got good body control, foot speed. He jumps a lot of routes. The one knock against him, he's got poor ball skills. He has to improve in that area. Curtis Brown, a guy that you mentioned before, he comes in at number 7. Agile, quick feet, has the speed to stay stride with wide receivers, but he could get distracted, and he needs to be more physical and forceful with receivers downfield. He needs to be stronger. Brandon Burton, I like him too. He's number 8. Great coverage technique, ultra physical, sometimes gets a little too physical. He contains the run, great leaping ability to defend even bigger receivers.
Jonathan Baldwin, right? Week 1 of the year, you saw him just all over the place on Jonathan Baldwin when they were matched up one-on-one.
I agree, yeah. So he could do the job there, although he wasn't as good against Austin Pettis in the bowl game. But overall, I mean, the kid is he's strong, he's confident, he's smart. The problem with him is he gets a little too touchy-feely with his opponents at times. He clutches and grabs a little too much, and that's just a part of him being too physical.
And we know the NFL doesn't like touchy-feely. They want to protect those receivers as much as possible.
They will drop that flag at the drop of a hat. The other guy that I like here, I agree with you, Kendrick Burney out of North Carolina. Again, you know, average speed, below average size, but this is a playmaker. He anticipates, he reads plays, he's a fluid athlete, he sinks his hips, pops out of his breaks, and most importantly, he can knock the stuffing out of pass catchers. Probably a cover 2 guy, but you know what? I mean, this guy, his timing is just impeccable. And the way he hits you, I mean, this guy plays like a linebacker almost.
Kind of like a almost a Rondé Barber type of player, you know, for people maybe who aren't familiar with these guys as a projection. You know, not necessarily the fastest guy, not even the biggest guy, but a cover 2 corner who isn't afraid to get physical.
Yeah, a real intimidator. Then at number 10, I have Devon House, and this is when you see a real fall-off, in my opinion, with the cornerbacks. After Kendrick Burney at 9, in my opinion, these next cornerbacks that I'm going to mention, they fall way short of the top guys, in my opinion. Devon House, yeah, a small school guy, superior speed, gets his nose dirty, but he's also slow to react to plays. He's another guy who likes to clutch and grab a lot. To me, he's a project. After him, number 11 is Johnny Patrick. Watch this kid and watch his YouTube highlights. Watch him play on TV. The guy is always in off coverage, and that worries me a little bit. I mean, I never see this guy in man-to-man coverage. What that tells me is maybe his coach was scared of seeing him match up one-on-one in man-to-man coverage with a lot of these receivers, and he didn't want him to get beat deep. You know, that sets off a red flag for me. I'm sorry. And then finally at number 12, I have Chinwe Chekwa. Excellent speed, but not assertive enough, not big enough in my opinion. He's got to bulk up a little bit. To me, he's more of maybe like a number four, number five cornerback in the NFL.
He can be a little touchy-feely, too, at times, Chendi. He would draw some flags there at Ohio State, so I think when he goes to the next level, that's something that could be an issue. That's always something I always thought of watching him play during the season was, you know, he draws a decent amount of PIs at the college level, and they're a lot stricter in the NFL, particularly before the ball's in the air in terms of that illegal contact and that type of thing. I guess the guy would probably differ the most is Brown. I'm just concerned about, I don't know, I just don't see him being that great, Jaleel Brown, in terms of, you know, his fluid hips and his ability to cover man-to-man at the next level. He actually didn't crack my top 15. He would be in my next group of guys. Johnny Patrick, Chimdi Chekwa didn't crack my top 15 either. Let me throw these a couple of names at you. You know, guys like Rashard Carmichael, I had 11. I had House, who you mentioned, at 12. I had Chicky Brown, a third corner out of Texas, at number 14. And I had Marcus Gilchrist, the kid out of Clemson, at number 15. I know he's also another guy a lot of people have projected as being more of a corner at the next level. I mean a safety, I'm sorry, being a safety at the next level. So that could be where he ends up playing. I'll give you my super, super, super sleeper, and that's Buster Skrine, who really, I think, you know, had an unbelievable combine there. Not only did he run a 4.37 40-yard dash, which was a little faster than Prince and right behind Patrick Peterson, but Skrine had that 3.90 shuttle time. No one was even close to that. You know what I mean? I think Curtis Brown was next with the 4.00 flat, and so was Chucky Brown. The two Browns out of Texas had 4.00 flats, but he was almost, you know, almost 0.2 seconds quicker than Patrick Peterson on that shuttle time, which it's a good indicator. I mean, it's not the end all and be all. You know, it's not something that say, hey, you know, he should be the number one ranked corner. No, but it's an important number. It is somewhat of an indicator of what a kid can do, not just running when he's in straight line speed, but when he's going to have to move and flip. And obviously when you're covering a receiver, you know, he's going to dictate which way you're going to have to turn. You know, when you're doing a drill, it's a little easier. It's more antiseptic. It's more of a controlled environment than a game situation. But still, I think impressive enough numbers to get that small school kid into my top 15. And I could see him definitely going in the third round. I wouldn't even be shocked if he goes late second round. I think he's somebody teams might jump on as we get closer to the draft. You know, Rev, as we wait for Prince and McNamara to call in here, who are some other guys? You know, you mentioned Johnny Patrick, Chindi Chekwa. I'll throw a couple of names out there, and you can tell me who you want to jump in about. You know, I mentioned Carmichael from Va Tech.
Yeah, actually, Carmichael's on my list of sleepers.
We got Brandon Hogan out of West Virginia,
mm-hmm.
Sharice Wright out of USC.
I like him, too.
Chris Rucker, the Michigan State
guy.
I know you watch a lot of Big Ten football. Chris Culliver. He's another kid. Is he a corner? Is he a safety from South Carolina?
Yeah, well, actually, Culliver, I have him as a safety. But, you know, to touch upon some of the other guys that you mentioned, Rashard Carmichael, to me, is a sleeper, in my opinion, a rangy corner with elite speed. He gets his head around, good technique and coverage. He's got good recovery speed. And to me, he's more of a zone coverage guy. He does a great job in that. He's got explosive burst that allows him to close in on passes. Then Chris L. Rucker, I mean, you can make an argument, is he a safety at the next level? Is he a cornerback? All I know is when he was on the field, the guy was a playmaker, a press cover guy with elite size at 6'2", applies the physical jam to receivers. He could turn his hips. He's got the long arms to knock away passes. Probably another zone guy. He does have some character concerns, which can make him fall in this draft, but I think if you grab him, you know, in the fifth, sixth, seventh round, I think, you know, a team's got themselves a real sleeper on their hands. And then another guy here is Richard Sherman out of Stanford. I mean, you talk about this kid coming late to the Senior Bowl, not having a lot of time to practice for that game, and just, you know, outperforming a lot of other defensive backs during that week, during that game. 6'2", applies sticky tight coverage. He could put a lick on a receiver as he did on guys like Hankerson and Derek Locke during that game. He also had a pickoff. He's also great in the classroom, smart kid off the field. And then a bunch of other guys that I like. I do like those physical cornerbacks. And, you know, maybe some of these guys will end up being safeties. But I do like Vance Cuff out of Georgia. A great performance in Texas versus the Nation. He laid some big hits around there, showed some good technique. stayed step for step with guys like Denarius Moore in coverage. And then Byron Maxwell is a similar corner out of Clemson. Active hands, smart, instinctive guy, doesn't hesitate to lay the big hit, gets his hands on a lot of balls, good on special teams. And so, you know, these are, as I said, most of these guys are just physical corner slash safety guys, but these are all guys that I like. Cuff, Carmichael, Maxwell, Chris Ulrucker, and Richard Sherman.
Yeah, I like Cuff as well. I figured he'd be on your list as well. You know, I think another small school kid that's really intriguing that put up some pretty good numbers and showed something at the combine was Cortez Allen, the kid out of the Citadel. You know, they produced a receiver last year, right, Roberts?
Yep.
Went to the Citadel.
Andre Roberts.
Yeah, Andre Roberts and Buster Scrine went to UT Chattanooga, so let me give them a little love as well. Josh Thomas is another small school kid that I think is a sleeper. Kevin Rutland out of Missouri was somebody that I liked. You know, the more you kind of saw him, the more you like him. You know, he's not somebody that really was big on the radars during the season, but Mizzou played a lot of big games, you know, against an Oklahoma, against a Nebraska, so during the season, and they surprised some people with the year they had, and it wasn't just Blaine Gabbert. You know, a lot of guys stepped up, and I think Rutland was a guy that stepped up, Texas Versus Nation player, good athlete. You mentioned Vance Cuff, another Texas Versus Nation player. DeMarcus Van Dyke from Miami, I think, is another kid that could go in the mid rounds. It's an intriguing player. A little, in my opinion, a little bit of an underachiever as a college player. You know, seems to have the skill set though to be a top NFL player. So we'll see how that pans out. And then finally, Devon Torrance, another Ohio State Buckeye, kind of the number two guy most of his time there in Columbus, to Chinedu Achebe. I know, once again, you're a Big Ten guy through and through during the college season. You know, before we bring Prince on, what are your quick thoughts on Devon Torrance?
I mean, Devon Torrance, he comes with some limitations, not a great athlete, but was productive in college. You know, I mean, I'm higher on a guy like Kevin Rutland, that guy that you brought up from Mizzou, actually. To me, he brings more to the table in terms of speed and coverage ability.
All right, and speaking of somebody who is a great athlete, I'd say, and that's Prince Amakamara from the University of Nebraska. He ran a 4.38 40 at the combine with a 38-inch vertical, a 10-foot-8-inch broad jump. He's another one of these guys that sounds like he would be a slam dunk champion if he stuck with basketball. Hey, Prince, how's it going? Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me on. It's going well. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing pretty good. We're doing pretty good here. We're talking defensive backs, and we got our number two rated corner, Prince Amakamara, on the line right now. And, Prince, let's start there. I mean, where do you see yourself going? Do you think you've solidified yourself as a top-10 pick?
Yes, sir. I think I've done everything to assure myself that top-10 pick. I mean, the eye in the sky doesn't lie. I think my resume, which
well,
is my
Prince,
film.
Prince, are you with us? We lost you, I think.
Hello? Hello?
It seems like we're having a little bit of a technical difficulty here. I don't know if it's our line or your cell phone. Prince, can you hear us?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Want to call us back?
Yeah, can you call us back? You're breaking up a little bit.
Okay.
All right, hopefully we'll get Prince back on the line.
Yeah, what's interesting about Prince Amakamara is that when he first arrived in Lincoln, Nebraska, he was a guy that actually played running back. A lot of schools were hot on his trail to play a running back position, and then they moved him over to cornerback. So, you know, I mean, he made a pretty nice transition, I would say, pretty quick transition. You know, his breakthrough season finally came in his junior year, with 64 tackles and 5 interceptions. He could have actually came out last year and been a high draft pick as well. So, you know, a guy I think that at the very least you know that you're getting a proven guy, a guy with not only potential but with production at the collegiate level.
All right, hopefully we can get Prince back on the line here. Let's see. All right, Prince, are you back with us?
Yes, sir.
Okay, great, great. Thanks a lot for calling back there. You sound better now. Let me ask you, too, as a little bit of a follow-up, I'm sure you hear what other people say and everything. You know, most people have Patrick Peterson rated as a top corner. You know, make the case for yourself being the number one corner.
I think I'm the best cover corner in the draft, and I think I'm the most physical corner in the draft also. If you see on the film, I love to stick my nose in there and get in on tackles, and I think my cover ability is very good as well.
And we're talking to Prince McNamara from the University of Nebraska, 2010 first team All American, Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year, as voted by the coaches, a Jim Thorpe finalist, first team All Big 12, and a team captain. Prince, let me ask you this though. Let's say, you know, you take yourself out of it. Obviously, you know, it's out of your control once draft day comes. If Peterson does go ahead of you, are you kind of rooting for him to go number one? Do you think it would be cool to see a corner to go number one overall? Because there still seems to be a little of that stigma, like, oh, that's a little too high to take a corner. What do you think?
Patrick Peterson is an amazing athlete and an amazing player. And I mean, yes, for sure. If he goes number one, then I'm sure that would be good for me, because I'm rated by other people as the number two corner. And I think it would be good for a corner or DB to go number one, just so things can be different.
Hey Prince, Ralph Mancini here. Everybody knows that you're more of a press corner, but do you enjoy playing man or zone better? And what part of your game have you worked the hardest on to improve upon in the off season?
I know I can play either off man or press man, and that's mainly what we did at Nebraska. It was more of a man zone. We just matched up a lot of routes, and in the off season, I just really worked on just playing more with my feet and less with my hands. I think you can get away with using your hands, and at the next level in the NFL.
Yeah, you were point.
What was that?
Hello, Prince. Are you there?
Yes. Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and my other question was, I know that, you know, going into college, you were also a former point guard, which partially explains why you were one of the team leaders with the Cornhuskers. How did you go about exerting your leadership as a cornerback on the Nebraska Cornhuskers?
As a cornerback, I just expressed my leadership just leading by example, just making plays and trying to make it easier on the other guys, and just taking away half of the field on my own. And if someone didn't make a play on one play, I'd get on them, and they'd do the same to me. We just kept each other accountable on the defensive side of the ball.
Prince, let me ask you this, and we're talking to Prince McNamara from the University of Nebraska, one of the top corners for the 2011 draft. He's projected to be, you know, a surefire first-round pick, very likely a first-round pick, top 10 pick, I should say, leading up into the draft. And, Prince, I read that, you know, you spent some time on the NFL Network with Steve Mariucci and Charles Davis, and I read where you said they educated you some on the NFL. What exactly did you learn from those guys?
I learned from them just to really embrace the whole process and just to really work hard and not be satisfied by just making it in the NFL. He said a lot of guys are hungry in the NFL, and just to still have that humility that I have in myself, and just to keep staying hungry and working hard when I get there.
And we're talking to Prince McNamara from the University of Nebraska, not just a great, you know, player on the field, but a great kid off the field. Big 12 Commissioner's Honor Roll, Brooks Boehringer's Citizenship Team. Took you only 7 semesters to earn that undergraduate degree. Took a couple. I don't know how many took you, Ralph, but it took me more than 7. I know that. To get my degree. Prince, tell us a little bit. Where does that come from? You know what I mean? That citizenship, that, you know, concern for your community. I know you do a lot of charity stuff and give your time to good causes. Where does that come from?
I think it just comes from my faith and just being a Christian, and just comes from my parents. My parents always instilled in us just qualities as in just in hard working and giving back, and just with my faith, I just heard to whom much is given, much is required. So just giving back to the community and having a genuine concern for others is just part of my character and part of who I am.
Also, Prince, talk about the influence of your former head coach, Bo Pelini. You know, he's a guy that I believe had a big hand in, you know, turning you from a running back into a defensive back, into a cornerback, as a matter of fact. He's, you know, an ultra-intense guy. What are some of the teachings or some of the lessons that, you know, Bo Pelini offered you that still stick with you and will stick with you down the road as you make your way through the NFL?
The one thing that Coach Pelini just kept preaching when he was here is just compete. Yeah, and just the way to compete, giving it all you have every play and refilling your tank and just emptying it out again. And I'm real fortunate to have just him, his brother, and the whole defensive coaching staff as my first defensive coaches, basically, just because he taught me not how to play the game, but like why I'm in the position I am. For example, just like third down and the distances and just stuff like that, and why we're running this coverage and the fronts. They just really educated me just on the whole defense.
And also, what does it mean to you to be a lockdown corner? I mean, what's the most important characteristic a lockdown corner should possess, in your opinion?
I think a lockdown corner should just have confidence. Every time he steps out on the field, he should know that he's the best, and that receiver across from him is not going to get nothing. And if he does get something, that corner should have a short-term memory and just learn from that play and just forget about it. And then go out the next play and give it all you got again.
And obviously, Prince, you know, the main thing when you think of a corner is the cover skills. But as you mentioned, you're not afraid to mix it up. Talk a little bit about, you know, your ability to play the run, and you know, what do you feel about, you know, how much do you like playing near the line of scrimmage when you do get that opportunity?
I really enjoy playing on the line of scrimmage. I played nickel and dime here at Nebraska. And that's just more of an inside DB. You're more involved in the run, and I'm a pretty big corner. I feel like I'm 6'1", 206 pounds, and I just feel whenever I have the chance to hit someone full speed and with all my might, I'm going to do it.
And we're talking to Prince McNamara from the University of Nebraska. Prince, I see you've already had visits with the Lions and the Bengals. I believe you're also going to be visiting with San Francisco, Kansas City, Dallas, and Tampa. Am I leaving anyone out?
The Panthers and the Browns.
Okay, Panthers and the Browns. Any workouts scheduled as well, or just visits so far?
Just visits so far.
I guess, you know, kind of seeing what they need to see so far. I mean, you've done a pretty good job at the combine as well as your pro day. Let me ask you before we let you go, Prince, how about the talk of you maybe playing some safety? As you mentioned, you played some nickel and dime, so you have versatility at the corner position. Could you see yourself, you know, playing safety at the next level, whether it be in a full-time role or a part-time role?
I wouldn't mind playing safety at all. If that's the position the team needs me to play, then I'd be more than happy to come in and compete for a spot there. But I do love playing corner, and I think my body and my gifts are fit for the cornerback position. But if the team needs me to play safety or nickel or dime, I'll compete at that spot.
All right, great, Prince. Thanks a lot for giving us some time. We definitely want to wish you luck come April for the NFL draft. I'm sure we'll be hearing your name called pretty early on draft night.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on here.
Best of luck.
Thanks.
And that is Prince McNamara, the corner from Nebraska. You know, not my number two guy, your number four guy. We have him pretty high there on the on our list of overall players. Definitely a surefire first round guy. We should have our safety Raheem Moore calling in pretty shortly to talk about you know what he can do there and his thing at the safety position. Rev. talk to us a little bit about your top safeties as we get ready for Raheem.
Well, actually, my number one safety, because I'm projecting him to be a safety, is college cornerback Aaron Williams. You know, I mean, he's got the quick feet, he's agile, he's got the loose hips, everything you want in a cornerback, but he struggles when he has to cover people on the outside. He allows way too much separation. So that leads me to believe that he's not a guy that can be trusted at the cornerback position. I see him being a better free safety because he does have decent tackling skills and ball skills as well, which make him better suited for the free safety position. My number two guy, and here's somebody that, you know, he didn't have a great senior season, had an awesome junior season, and that's DeAndre McDaniel. He's my number two guy. You know, he's a little limited in coverage, but he has a tendency to be around the football. He does a lot of extra work studying offenses. He has great short area quickness and reaction skills. To me, I think he may be the top ball hawk in this draft among the safeties. I wish he were a better hitter. He's more of a selective hitter. Sometimes he hits hard, sometimes he doesn't. But again, you take a look at that junior season and what he did with 8 interceptions, always being there at the right place at the right time, being in the right position, and there's something to be said for that. I think, to me, that makes him a very talented guy and a guy that projects well if he gets with the right team and with the right coaches and if he's properly motivated in the NFL. Number three is Gerard Tarrant out of Georgia Tech, a former cornerback. He can accelerate. He can cover on the outside and in deep coverage. He uses his speed to his advantage on run support, on blitzes. He can be a little inconsistent. And he does have some character concerns, but overall, I think I like him as my number three guy. My number four guy is Raheem Moore, fluid athlete, more of a finesse guy, not a great open field tackler, takes some bad angles. However, he does have great range and ball skills. Some people are projecting him to be a better cornerback than safety. And then number five is Jerron Johnson out of Boise State. I love those Boise State guys. They all seem to be smart and well-coached. He reads plays. He has excellent closing speed, plus a hitter's mentality, and he makes some of his best plays with the ball in the air.
All right, interesting top five there, Rev. I got two guys the same as you. I got Raheem Moore as my number one guy, and he should be calling in any minute. Maybe didn't have the best 40 time, but did a really great job on that shuttle, which once again I said, you know, it's a big drill for those DBs, as important, maybe more important in the eyes of some than that corner position. Only one pick last year, but had 10 as a junior. So, you know, great center fielding, field type safety. Maybe he can play corner. I'd rather see him stay at safety, maybe use him at corner in nickel and dime situations when you need a slot guy. But I like having that, you know, ball hawking safety playing center field, snagging some passes, making the other team pay, particularly in the league where, you know, there's more and more passing. You see teams throwing 60% of the time sometimes. So I think it's great to have that cover guy out there. I also like McDaniel. He's my number three guy. At number two, I have Quinton Carter out of Oklahoma, who could probably play both the free or the safety. Ralph is shaking his head. He thinks Carter is, I guess, one of the overrated guys in this draft. But a kid that, you know, nothing really pops out in him. But, you know, I think you could say that for a lot of these guys. But he's shown the ability to play the run. He's shown the ability to make some plays down the field as well. So that's why I kind of like him at number two. He has good versatility in that he's not just a, you know, a big hitter, a big guy, or he's not just a pass cover type player. At number four, Robert Sands, the big kid out of West Virginia. A lot of upside here. There may be a little bit of a boomer bust type pick, but I think he impressed with his fluidity and his ability to move in the combine, showed really good speed for a kid that's 6'4". Now, we've seen a few of these guys come down the pike that really haven't panned out in the NFL, these bigger defensive backs. But I think Sands is one of them who's got a chance to shine once he gets there. Admittedly, a little bit of a boomer bust guy, but I think his upside is significantly higher than a lot of these other safeties. Then at number five, I think a guy that you like is the kid out of Idaho, Shiloh Keough, you know, the rival of Boise there in the same conference. But I think he's an underrated player. I think he plays the pass a lot better than people give him credit for. You know, I'm not sure why, you know, when I read some other reports and see what other people are thinking and saying out there, I don't necessarily agree with everything they say about Shiloh. I think he's a better guy in coverage than people say.
No, I agree. The guys that I disagree with is, number one, Mr. Sands. To me, he's too tall, too angular. To me, he projects as more of a flexible enough or having that quick twitch that he needs to be an effective safety at the next level. And then as far as Quentin Carter goes, I mean, yeah, is he big? Is he a big hitter? Yeah, but, you know, there are other things involved with being a good safety. To me, he's a guy that has trouble turning his hips. He's has trouble in deep coverage. He's got poor technique and poor instincts. I mean, you know, it's okay if you don't have good deep coverage. You know, not every safety does. A lot of safeties, you know, can't run deep. But you got to have instincts. And I don't even think he has that. He's a great guy off the field, I'll give you that. But in terms of all the other qualities you need to be, you need to have to be a good safety, I think he's a bit lacking.
Well, I think after Moore, I think really these guys are pretty close in my mind. I don't really see anyone after Moore grading as higher than a third round grade, to be honest with you. There's decent depth, but there's not a lot at the top in terms of guys that who project to be, you know, elite safeties or playmaking safeties. These guys are more parts of the puzzle than, you know, key components.
Well, Dan, you're a New York guy. I'm surprised you didn't mention, you know, a nice little safety in our own backyard, Joe LaFege out of Rutgers.
Yeah, Joe actually didn't crack my top 10, believe it or not. He was right on the cusp of making the top 10. Great special teams player. I think that's where his value comes in really early on. But I did have another local guy, a true New York guy, Jaquan Jarrett, who went to Temple. He's my number 7 player. We had him on before. I also had Chris Culliver, who we talked about, at number 6. I really like his ability as a cover guy. I say this over and over again. I do like these safeties that have the ability to play corner that are very good in pass coverage. I know you sometimes you might sacrifice a little bit in terms of run support. You might sacrifice a little bit in terms of tackling. But how often do you watch NFL games where the safety is constantly beaten over the top, beaten over the can cover? I just think there's so few in the NFL.
However, how many times do you see a receiver catch a small 5-yard pass and then make all of his yards after the catch because of shoddy tackling? I mean, it works both ways, you know?
I hear you, Rev. I hear you when you say that stuff, but typically sometimes it is, but that's not always a safety that's there, you know, at the line of scrimmage for those little screen passes and those bubble passes. Maybe a little bit down the field, they do miss those tackles. You are right. You know, tackling, I know that's your big pet peeve, and I can't disagree with you, and I think most, you know, old-school NFL people would definitely agree with you that the tackling and the technique overall in the NFL is downgraded. But, like, you know, like I said, I just think there's too many safeties that are more of that linebacker-type mold and not enough that can play in coverage, considering how often, you know, they're attacked in the NFL, whether it be, you know, having to play near the line of scrimmage because all of a sudden, you know, the running back lines up, you know, goes out wide and somebody's got to step up and cover him, or just being that deep center fielder, that last line of defense. Also in my top 10, Dante Williams, the kid out of UNC. He was one of those guys that missed a bunch of games. Also, hasn't really had a chance to show what he can do this offseason. Denoris Searcy, another back-to-back Tar Heels, I think a really underrated kid, more of a strong safety. Williams is a free safety. You know, Searcy doesn't, you know, they say like, oh, you know, off the bus, the kid looks like a great player. Searcy doesn't necessarily look like an all-star safety. You know, he's a little kind of squarish build. He's not necessarily the fastest guy, but I really love his instincts, and he is a guy that really does well playing near the line of scrimmage. And I think he plays faster than his time speed. You know what I mean? Some of these guys may be timed faster, but I think when you watch him play, I really don't see, that as a big detriment. You know, his lack of speed. I've watched Carolina play a lot the last couple of years and seen him play a lot going back to, you know, playing West Virginia in the bowl game as a sophomore, where he made a lot of plays against Pat White. But, you know, I've never really seen that really hurt them that much. So I think that gets overplayed a little bit. And Rev, before you jump in, my number 10 guy, Tyler Sash, kid out of Iowa, you know, had big pick numbers a couple of years ago as a junior for the Hawkeyes. Once again, another kid pretty similar in the sense that he's better known for being an instinctive type player than necessarily having some measurables. I'm not really sure if Tyler is going to be an NFL starting safety. He may be more of a depth guy, special teams type contributor. What do you think of those guys? I know you have Jared and Cersei and Sash, I think, kind of mixed in a similar place where I do.
Yes, I do. I'm going to start off with Joe LaFege. You know, I'm a little higher on him than you are. I actually think he's a decent coverage safety who could pick up tight ends and receivers if necessary. Makes plays in traffic. I love the way he throws his body around, and he can blitz also. Number seven is Jaquan Jarrett, a downhill hitman. He anticipates the snap and delivers bone-crunching hits, great instincts, and fun to watch. Number eight, I do have Tyler Sash, a rangy guy. He gets in position, finds the football, comes up with a lot of picks. Good strength. He can tackle, solid form tackler. Not great in deep coverage. Sometimes gets to the play, gets the ball a hair too late. He's a good player, not a great athlete. My number nine guy is Ahmad Black, and I know you're not too high on him, Dan, but, I mean, too bad he's not 2 or 3 inches taller and about 15 pounds heavier, because this kid's instincts are through the roof. I mean, the guy reads quarterbacks. He beats receivers to the football. He's a great open field tackler. Yeah, I'm talking about Ahmad Black out of Florida. And then Shiloh Keough is my number 10 guy. Big, thick kid. I actually talked to him yesterday. Very intelligent, very talkative guy. He's got good size. He's 6 feet, 223 pounds. He's just an intense box safety. He attacks the line of scrimmage like a linebacker. He only runs maybe like a 4.6 or a 4.7, but he has great feet, and he can turn his hips. And then number 11 is a guy that we mentioned before, Denoris Searcy, extremely strong guy. He's not very fast. He's more quick than fast. He's got that quick burst about him, and he makes a lot of plays. Chris Conte is my number 12 guy, a tall guy, 6'2", former cornerback. He was kicked out to safety recently. A very intense guy. He's got the ability to close in on his opponents. And then number 13 is Quentin Carter. We talked about him already. I'm not too high on him. Again, I don't like his instincts. He's got poor technique. He's got a lot to work on, in my opinion.
All right, Ralph, that wraps up your group. And maybe we'll touch upon a couple more guys after we have Raheem Moore on. But that's our next guest, Raheem Moore, safety out of the University of California at Los Angeles, UCLA Bruins, 6 foot inches, 202 pounds, 35-inch vertical, very impressive short shuttle time at the combine. Raheem, how's it going? Thanks for joining us today.
Oh, thank you so much, man. Everything is going good. I'm out here just checking out the guys at spring ball here at UCLA.
Oh, very nice, very nice. Checking out the spring ball there at UCLA, back with the Bruins. I know you're an LA kid, so you're back home there. Raheem, I read a couple things interesting about you. I heard, you know, no soda, no candy, no fast food in your diet. How long have you been doing that? Is that something recent to kind of get into better football shape, or have you been doing that for a while?
Nah, you know what? I started doing that, I believe, it had to be around my 8th grade year. Around my 8th grade year, you know, Stephon Johnson, that's my big brother. He, you know, he influenced me to stop drinking the soda part. And I started realizing, you know, I want to stay in shape as much as I can and be a better player. So I just fixed certain things on my diet, you know, the soda, took the candy out, because I figure, you know, what you put in your body, you know, you're going to get out of it. So, you know, now I just drink water and, you know, cranberry juice 24/7, and it helps me out.
That's pretty impressive. That's pretty mature for a kid in eighth grade. You know, I was looking for the, you know, nearest McDonald's when I was in eighth grade. But,
right.
You know, usually it's funny. Sometimes you hear guys in the NFL and they're, you know, like in their seventh, eighth year, and they finally, the light turns on. Maybe I should have a better diet. I'm a professional athlete. But you learn that at a young age.
It took me like 30 years to make that change.
Right.
Exactly. I also hear, you know, you like to shop, and I'm a man who likes to shop as well. Being in New York, I get a lot of chances to go in Manhattan and check out some good stores. I'm sure you got the same thing living out there in Cali. So what kind of shopping do you like to do? What are we talking about here? We're talking about, you know, Prada and Gucci, or sneakers, hats? What are we talking about?
You know what? You know, I have my ways of, you know, I've seen some Louis and Gucci in my days, but, you know, I'm more of a guy that likes, I believe in polos, Ralph Lauren polos. I figure when you wear those, you can never go wrong anywhere in the world you go. I'm a type of guy, you know, I'll put on a nice polo, classic fit, you know, some nice Rock Republic jeans, some antiques with some 7 jeans, and I'm a big Air Max fan. I love Air Maxes, and I just feel like that's a good man's shoe, you know. You know, my shop isn't so extravagant. I like to keep it simple, but also clean at one moment. You know, the ladies love when you clean cut, you know.
Yeah, I hear that. I saw a commercial where they said, you know, a man who's dressed well is more attractive than a man that has money. And I hope so. I hope that's true, because I have a better chance of dressing well than I have making a lot of money at this very moment. But you're somebody who's going to dress well and be making money in a not too distant future. So what's something that, you know, you're looking forward to shopping that you haven't been able to just yet, that once you get that NFL deal under place that you'll be able to do?
Oh, that's a good question. I'll probably say I'm looking forward to the furniture shopping. I never was able to, you know, my friend, we were never fortunate to be able to buy that type of furniture that everybody wants, like that big Cal King bed and, you know, the nice pillows and stuff like that. So I'm looking forward to, you know, one day buying me an apartment or a condo and just cooking it up, you know, getting some nice Scarface pictures, nice furniture, you know, tons of groceries. That's the main shopping I can't wait to, because growing up, we never had it. So, you know, that's a big criteria for me.
Yeah, let me get a piece of advice. When you go into that furniture store, those guys can be hawks in there. Keep it on the DL that you just got drafted by an NFL team. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
Hey, Raheem, Ralph Mancini here. Before we turn this into a fashion show, let me ask you a couple of football questions. Now, you started out your career at UCLA as a tall, skinny kid during your freshman year. Talk about the steps that you've made to develop into one of the best safeties in the nation. What's been the key in your growth?
You know what? The thing is, it's a sacrifice, and, you know, it was hard work and dedication. You know, the thing I did was I realized my freshman year that my strength wasn't where I wanted to be. So what I did was I put on 25 pounds of muscle in a matter of a half a year, and that changed my whole perspective of football. It gave me the confidence that I needed. And also, people don't understand how much I prepare. My preparation is the best. And you know why? When you want to be the best, you got to prepare. You got to watch film day in and day out. It's been times where I used to sleep in the film room overnight. You know, that's how much I love football. And also just putting everything in God's hands and believing and having faith. And also getting guys around you better. When you get the guys around you better, it makes you more of a better player. And that's the best aspect of sports in general.
Hey, Raheem, you know, I know that in one of your interviews, one of your recent interviews, you pointed out that you were tired of how some people are saying that, you know, you don't have great strength. You know, what do you say to that? Do you think some people are selling you short? Do you think that, you know, some people are saying maybe you'd be a better cornerback than safety? Do you think a lot of people might be just, you know, underestimating you altogether?
Of course. You know, I'm going to be honest, I'm going to tell you really how I feel. I just feel like some teams believe that I'm weak. And, you know, I'm not perfect, you know, but I also want respect. And, you know, it's not given, but it's earned. But my freshman year coming into college, they said, Raheem, you was too small. It was too, you know, you weren't quick enough for this is and the third. And, they, you know, come to find out, I ended up being a two-time All-American at UCLA. So, you know, I like when people doubt me. I like when people say that I can't do this because I've been dealing with this my whole life. I remember people used to tell me when I was younger that I would never be successful. I won't see any success. I will be another statistic in Los Angeles. So I love the adversity, and that's what makes you, you know, an overall better player.
Hey, Raheem, some people might look at, you know, saying that you could play corner as a compliment as well. Not many safeties have that kind of skill set. So, do you know, how many teams have talked to you about that, and do you think you could do that, at, you know, whether it be a part-time or full-time basis?
Oh, several teams talk about it because, you know, they love my foot speed and my quickness, and also just my way I react to the ball, my reaction. So, you know, it's a good compliment. And my main thing is, you know, I thrive on, you know, when you're a safety, you want to be a hybrid. So when you're a safety with corner feet, and you think like a linebacker, that makes you more of a better player. And like a quarterback with wide receiver speed, like Michael Vick, that makes you that much more, you know, reliable and that much more of a better player. So, when teams give you that, it's a blessing. And also, If you ever tell me to go line up in corner, I can definitely do it. I did it at UCLA. I did it at in college. So, you know, I did it in high school. So I figured, you know, when you're a defensive back and you play safety, you should be able to play all three positions, corner and strong safety as well.
Yeah, it definitely adds value to you come draft week. You know, any versatility you can provide, particularly when teams get into those nickel and dime situations and now you have 5-6 DBs on the field. Raheem, let me ask you, you know, 10 interceptions as a junior, went down to one last year. Talk a little bit about the, you know, the adjustments that other teams maybe made and how you had fewer opportunities in the last season to kind of snag that football.
Yeah, you know, it was tough my junior year because, you know, a lot of teams stayed away from me. And, you know, a lot of times it was a little frustrating because I love to get action. I want somebody to challenge me as much as I want to challenge somebody else. So what I would do is put myself in better situations to make plays, play a little more strong safety, play a little more, you know, more man-to-man coverage in the slot to make teams force to throw at me, you know. And sometimes, you know, a few times in the season I came short. You know, I learned from that. I'm just trying to bait and also take chances. But, you know, you live and you learn. And, you know, it's hard to get 10 interceptions again. I'm not saying it can't be done, but, you know, it's other plays to make. I made more tackles this year than I ever made in my whole career of football. So, you know, I want to be an overall player, make TFLs, make pass breakouts, make interceptions, make hits. Touchdown, anything I can do to help team win.
Yeah, I stand corrected. I misspoke there. 10 interceptions as a sophomore. You had 6 tackles for a loss combined the last 2 years, 71 tackles as a junior this past season. As you mentioned, Kareem, career high. This is Raheem Moore is on the line with us from UCLA. Definitely our top safety overall on our draft board on the NFL Draft Bible website.
Yeah, Raheem, you know, being part of a great program like UCLA comes with its advantages in that you're constantly surrounded by great players. And, you know, you yourself had the benefit of being mentored by a guy like Alcoron Verner, who now plays with the Titans. You know, tell us, you know, how you took what he taught you and then passed it down to some of the younger guys on your team during your last year with UCLA.
You know, Verner, you know, he paved the way for all of us. And, you know, Vern, he showed me how to practice. You know, he showed me, you know, how it's supposed to be done on and off the field. And also, it shows how, you know, when you work hard in the classroom, then the field work will take care of its place. And Vern was a great student off the field and a great player on the field, on and off. So, you know, he's helped me out a lot. And also, as far as, you know, film study and also learning tendencies and, you know, stuff like that. So, you know, he's a great role model. You know, I look up to the man. He's my brother from another mother. And also having guys like Kenny Eason in your life also as a mentor. And also, you know, James Washington, them guys that helped me out so much. And also have a mentor like Ed Reed. You know, it can't get no better than that.
Yeah, Kenny Easley. That's a great name from that UCLA history there at safety. Definitely a good tradition at that position. And you brought up Ed Reed, and I know that's somebody – you admire. Do you know Ed, and what is it that makes you admire Ed?
You know, I like what he brings to the table. You know, he's one of them guys that he's one of them guys that's he's a hard worker. You know, he understands the game and he gives the game what it deserves. And I feel like it's a lot of things he do on and on the field that resemble me. And, you know, I like how he's a humble guy. You know, you never see Ed Reed in any trouble. And he's a guy who, you know, he's a perfect example of what NFL players should be. Real humble, and is a hard worker and enjoys life.
Yeah, Raheem, I got one more here. This is an easy one. You've been mentioned as both a first-round pick and a second-round pick. Would you be disappointed at this point if you fell to the second round?
Yeah, I'd be disappointed, but at one moment I would be blessed to be in the NFL, even though I'm wearing a jersey. But I feel like, personally, and I mean this in the most humble way, I feel like there's not 32 players better than me. I feel like that I'm a first-round talent. My playmaking and my status has done a lot. And a lot of it comes from, you know, my hard work. So a first-rounder isn't always just a player who makes plays on the field. You know, he has to be a first-rounder off the field. And I've never been in trouble. You know, I have a great mother who's taught me right from wrong. And I'm a guy where you don't have to worry about me off the field. I'm a big guy who's going to be in there at the same time as the coaching staff, and I'm a great locker room player. And if a team draft me, they won't have to worry about the safety position for the next 10 years because I believe that I'll be in the NFL for that long.
And we're talking to Raheem Morris, safety from the UCLA Bruins. There are not 32 better players than him. I like that quote, Raheem. Before we let you go, I'm just curious. You know, you're often described as a center field type safety, and baseball season just started. Are you a baseball fan?
Almost definitely. That's why I started playing free safety. I was a center fielder. Somebody recommended me to play safety because I used to catch balls from the center field all the way to the right field before the right fielder can get there. And that's what makes me thrive on getting to that ball, man. It's crazy how things just translate over to the field.
So you own the outfield, and the left field and the right field, and you, if you were calling for it, it was your ball.
Yes, sir. I'm a big King Griffey fan. That's my favorite baseball player ever. I love King Griffey.
Yeah, I was a Ken Griffey Jr. fan myself, although I did not play center field. I was more behind the plate. I have more of a catcher build than a center field build. So, yeah, I was going to ask you, who's your favorite
team? I'm more Mike Piazza type. You were a big Mike Piazza fan?
Yeah, you can say that. You can say that. You can say we're actually Mets fans, so, you know, we dig the Mike Piazza reference.
Okay,
what was your favorite team growing up?
Baseball?
Yeah.
Oh, I was a Mariners fan. I love Boone. I love A-Rod. Was he on the team back in the day? Ken Griffey. All those guys, man. That was my team back in the day. Woo! Randy Johnson. He's one of my favorite baseball players ever, too. And I used to love those guys. Oh, my gosh.
Big unit. I thought you were going to throw maybe Dodgers or Angels at me. How come not the home teams?
I don't know why. I'm from L.A., but I'm only an L.A. fan of the Los Angeles Lakers. Other than that, I'm fans of other states. It's crazy.
All right, fair enough. Seattle wasn't a bad choice. I kind of, you know, being a Mets fan, they were kind of like my American League team for a couple years when they did have those guys, Edgar Martinez as well. Jay Buhner. They had a really stacked lineup. Came close to winning it, but couldn't get over the hump. All right, Raheem, thanks a lot for joining us, talking some fashion, some football, some baseball. I think we touched everything today.
Thank you, sir. I really appreciate you guys for having me, man. God bless you all.
All right, you
too.
All right, break away. All
right, thank you. That is Raheem Morris from the UCLA Bruins, one of the top safeties in this draft. Reverend, before we leave, you know, God bless to the Reverend, of course, before we leave the safety position and talk about team needs and which teams could be looking for a DB in the draft, you mentioned Ahmad Black. You know, you were talking about him. And yeah, I don't know what it is, Rev. I'm just not the biggest Ahmad Black fan. I see a lot of people out there having him rated as, you know, one of the top two or three safeties. And I just think he's somebody that, you know, I could be wrong, but I just think he's somebody that's going to be end up being a better college player than he was a pro. I just don't see the physical attributes. And, you know, you'll see a guy like a Jim Leonard come through. But for the most part, I think guys with his build and his speed, it's tough for them to make it at the next level.
He does come with some limitations. He might not be a starter, but I think he's going to be a contributor in some way, form, or fashion. He's just too smart, too instinctive. He just sees things before anybody else does. To me, I think you have to find a spot for this guy on your team. Not saying he's going to be a superstar, but I think he could be a very useful player. Now, the one thing that you worry about with a guy like him is maybe him turning into like another Bob Sanders. You know, a guy that gets hurt a lot, and that's a possibility because of his size. But I think that if he's a little bit more durable, and I think he should be because, I mean, Bob Sanders, I mean, they don't come any more fragile than that. I think, as I said, I think he's going to find a way to be a contributor on somebody's team.
All right, listening to the NFL Draft Bible's Draft Digest show. I'm your host, Daniel Moglione. With me is Ralph Mancini. On the show, we've had safety Raheem Morris from UCLA, as well as cornerback Prince McNamara from the University of Nebraska. Rev, let's talk about some teams that could be looking to, you know, bring these players on. You know, there's a lot of teams, particularly corner. I mean, year in, year out, you know, there's some people that think you can almost draft a corner every season because, you know, you can never have enough of these guys. There's, you know, you're always going to need extra DBs on the field. So many more teams going to 3 and 4 wideout situations. They're often on the field in key situations, whether it be in the red zone or third downs, you know, the kind of, do you keep the ball, do you punt the ball plays. I think, you know, some teams in the top 10 that could be looking for a corner are, you know, Carolina, number one, Arizona, Cleveland, San Fran, Tennessee. You got Houston at number 11. I think that's a big need. The Lions at 13, that's a huge need. You know, which team do you see looking for a corner maybe early in that top 10? And we're talking about guys like a Peterson, like a Prince Amukamara who could go in the top 10.
Yeah, well, I definitely agree with you on Cleveland. You know, Joe Hayden was great last year, but Sheldon Brown really struggled, and he's 32 years old. Eric Wright was just a flat-out disaster. Atlanta also needs cornerbacks. They need depth in general. You know, the Falcons were exposed in the playoffs when Brian Williams went down in the playoffs. Christopher Owens, our old buddy, he just couldn't do the job. Carolina, starting cornerback Richard Marshall, he is a guy that might have to be replaced because, yeah, he was tendered, but he still might leave once a new CBA is reached. You know, a lot of those tenders might not really be valid, and he might still end up being a free agent. Dallas is another team that needs a cornerback. They spent much of the year with only three cornerbacks on their roster. Mike Jenkins is awful. Terrence Newman's going to be 33 years old. And then this one's the obvious one, the Houston Texans. I mean, they had the worst secondary in the NFL.
Yeah, we talked about that before we even got on the air when we were prepping for the show. I don't see a Amukamara. If he's there at number 11, I don't see how Houston doesn't take him. I mean, they desperately need help in that secondary.
Well, at that point, you know, it's like, you know, who do they like more? You know, beauty's going to be in the eye of the beholder. They might, you know, like a guy like Amukamara. They might like a guy like Brandon Harris. But I think they definitely have to be looking at or at least considering cornerback really seriously. Kareem Jackson struggled mightily. Glover Quinn regressed. They just need more bodies at that position.
And I think some other spots, I mean, we did the on the clock for the Eagles a couple days ago on Tuesday. We know that's a huge need for them, probably their number one need. They could use a corner. Tampa Bay, you got Rondae Barber's a year older. Aqib Talib has his off-the-field issues, so who knows how often you can count on him. I think he was injured last year as well, so I think Tampa could be in the market. Baltimore, still looking for a corner. They needed one last year. They still need to address that position. They might have lost the chance going to a Super Bowl by giving up a huge pass play against the Steelers, who themselves could, I think, use to a corner. You know, I don't know if they're going to go there in the first round, but I think, you know, their guys have been there for a while, so they could need some young blood at that position.
Yes.
And the Raiders, too. I mean, Nnamdi Asomugha was, for all intents and purposes, a goner. He won't be back. So that's a position I think, you know, for the Oakland. They don't have a first-round pick, but I think they would love to grab a corner in either the second round or fourth round with one of their earlier selections.
And they need a particular type of cornerback because you know what Al Davis looks for. He wants those fast guys that play man-to-man coverage. But, you know, then we move over to safety, and we take a look at some teams out there that might need players at that position. And I think we have to start with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Last year, Jacksonville had six different starting safety combos during the season. Even the run-first teams threw against them. That's how bad it got down there in Jacksonville. Minnesota, they just need playmakers, period. Medeal Williams has only three interceptions in his 38 starts for the Vikings. And none of the young guys, Jamarcus Sanford, Tyrell Johnson, have stood out. The Saints, I think they could use another safety as well. Darren Sharper, he may retire. You know, Roman Harper, he was tendered, but I think that you saw signs of him slipping in the playoffs.
Definitely.
And St. Louis, O.J. Okagwe is gone. So what are they left with now? James Butler, he's been a disappointment. And Craig Dahl, I don't think he's a starter, so I think they really need a safety.
Yeah, I think Jacksonville and Minnesota are probably the two teams that are going to be looking to grab a surf safety early. These are teams that could be looking to grab a Raheem Moore. They really need that help in that second round. Houston, I think, you know, like we said, just a terrible secondary overall. And, you know, you mentioned Prince Amukamara as a safety, so that might be a great guy for them at 11, because even if, you know, even if he doesn't necessarily pan out a corner, they need help at either spot. Whether he pans out as a corner or a safety, he'll have a starting role with the Texans. They just really need to address that secondary. I think, you know, Denver and Dallas are two more teams. Miami that's picking up high that could use a safety. I think, you know, teams like the Ravens and the Raiders, you know, also need both a corner and a safety, not just the safety. The Lions, you can throw them into that mix as well. I think, you know, the Jets potentially could be in the need of a safety depending on where they go. You know, you mentioned the Saints. How about the Colts? You know what I mean? I think they could address that position. They could get stronger there at the safety position, as could Miami.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you know, again, a lot of these guys that end up being safeties are really going to be corners, and they're going to be turned into safeties. So that's what makes it really hard on the pure safeties out there that are trying to get drafted. And the bottom line with a lot of these guys, whether you're a cornerback or a safety, is if you could play special teams, that's probably a lot of times going to determine whether or not you make a team.
All right, before we wrap up the show, I know we didn't get a chance to go sleepers at the safety position. And Rev, I'll give you my two quickly. Out of Appalachian State, Legree, I think, is a small school kid that it's an intriguing prospect that you're going to be able to grab in probably the sixth or seventh round. And I see you like one of the guys that I like, Eric Hag out of Nebraska. Somebody that, you know, I thought heading into the season, a lot of people in the scouting community maybe overrated him. Now I think he's become kind of underrated. I think he had a pretty solid year. I mean, maybe, you know, he wasn't as good as Prince of Nakamura. You know, they have the other kid, Dennard, who's coming back to Nebraska, who could be one of the top corners in next year's draft. So maybe he got overshadowed by a couple of more talented players. But I think, you know, he's right to me on the cusp of being that in that top 10 safeties, in my opinion, you know, with the, you know, Dante Williams, a Cersei, a Sash. He's right in the mix with those guys. A little bit of a hybrid player. He played that kind of hybrid linebacker slash safety position at Nebraska. Once again, maybe that's a little bit of a stigma that people put on him. I don't think he played that position because he couldn't play safety. I think they just wanted to use his skill set at that hybrid position. It's a playmaking position at Nebraska, so they want to put a talented guy there.
I think what really hurt Eric Hag is the fact that he's not a big hitter. But, I mean, this guy could go out and cover slot receivers, and he's a good special teams player as well. As long as he gets a little bit stronger and gets off his blocks, I think that this guy has a chance at the next level. And then another guy you mentioned, Chris Culver out of South Carolina, an aggressive guy, a bit of a tweener. Is he more of a corner, more of a safety? I look at him as more of a safety.
Can he stay healthy? That's, you know, that's an issue as well.
Yeah, of course. And, you know, but he does know how to play in zone coverage. He can be a bit of a clutch and grab guy. He needs to improve his back pedal. He's a little raw, but he's got the skills. He's got the athletic ability that you could develop. And then another guy here, a small school kid out of Kent State, Brian Leinert, finished his career at Kent State with 17 interceptions. Not very fast, but possesses good short area quickness. He's a secure tackler. Does a great job of tracking the ball in the air. I think at the very least, he could be a key special teams player.
Hey, Ralph, we talked about him before, but you spoke to Shiloh Keough from Idaho. What can you tell us a little bit about the conversation you had with him?
Well, you know, he's a kid who's very positive. He's very enthusiastic. A kid that, in my opinion, is a guy that, a little bit like Troy Polamalu, he might not be the most vocal guy out there, a guy that wants to lead by example. He's going to come into a training camp, you know, not with making a lot of big statements. You know, he's a guy that wants to show and prove himself before he says anything, and that's kind of the attitude that he took when he was in college. But, you know, to me, you take a look at his credentials as a college player, you know, whether it was on special teams, making tackles. The kid is ultra-aggressive. Again, not the fastest guy out there, but he's very agile. He could turn his hips. He's very flexible. And a lot of times people overrate that 40-yard dash. Why don't they look at the three-cone drill? You know, among safeties, he had the best time in the three-cone drill, and he did well in his shuttles as well. So to me, I think that this guy, he is – maybe not the complete package, but he gives you a lot of what you're looking for at the safety position.
Yeah, I agree with you, Rev. I think he's underrated. I had him, I believe, as my number 5 overall safety. So I think, like you said, you know, he moves better laterally than a lot of these other guys. So maybe he doesn't have that straight line speed, but, you know, there's you can go on and on with the guys who ran a 4.44-yard dash who didn't make it in the NFL or stunk in the NFL. So, you know, sometimes we put too much emphasis on that. I want to remind everyone to listen to our On the Clock shows. Monday, we are having Jameson Hensley on from the Baltimore Sun to talk about the Baltimore Ravens with Joe Everett. Also this week coming up, we have our show on Tuesday, the Atlanta Falcons. Wednesday, New England Patriots. And Thursday, the Chicago Bears. Go to NFLDraftBible.com to check out who will be coming on those shows. Also, don't forget to check out the archive shows. We got 25 shows in the book. In the books, last week we had Mike Chappelle from the Indianapolis Star on Monday, Les Bowen from the Philadelphia Daily News on Tuesday, and on Thursday we had Eric Williams from the Tacoma News Tribune. He covers the Seattle Seahawks to talk about the Seahawks. Also, go to NFLDraftBible.com now. You can check out our insider mock with Joe Everett. I believe he gives you two rounds there, as well as numerous rookie reviews and team needs. So if you want to see what we think the rookies did last year, as well as the team needs coming up for the 2011 draft, you can check that out at NFLDraftBible.com. You can check out columns from my man over here, Reverend Ralph Mancini, Clay Nurse, a late boomer on the rise. Check that out, defensive lineman. Cincinnati, Joe Horn, a small school wide receiver, is working out with the Bengals. We got the draft blast from Bo Marchant, as well as our draft diaries, Mike Muhammad and Steve Schilling. Don't forget to check those out. Mm-hmm. On that note, we're going to let you go on this DV show. Don't forget to check out on our regular time on Thursday at 5 o'clock here on Block Talk Radio and the Fantasy Sports Channel, where we're going to be breaking down the quarterbacks and see who our number one guy is. I think it might surprise some people, but he's definitely our number one guy. We'll talk to you then on Thursday when we talk quarterbacks here on the NFL Draft Bible's Draft Digest Show.
Yeah.